Article 1 of the Constitution deals with the Congress, the House, and the Senate. More is said in that article than Article 2, which deals with the President and the administration, or certainly more than Article 3, which deals with the courts. Since the people's representatives are closer to the people, the Founding Fathers wanted to clarify their important role. Today, by God's grace, a godly man, Mike Johnson, who has been involved, by the way, with the Alliance Defending Freedom, the ADF, which was founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy, the ultimate founder of this radio outlet, as well as James Dobson, Bill Bright, and others. He was involved with them, and now he's the Speaker of the House. This is amazing. He's a very humble man in a very important position in our government, a man who deserves our prayers. Judge Darrell White knows Mike Johnson personally. I've had the privilege to meet him, to interview him for Coral Ridge Ministries. Darrell White, though, is the founder of Retired Judges of America. His website is ajatoday.com, and we're going to talk with semi-retired Judge Darrell White on this portion of Vocal Point about our new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Darrell, it's great to have you back in the program. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you again, Jerry, and I share, as do most Louisianians, a fondness and respect for Mike Johnson, and we are praying for his success for all of America. And you started off talking about the Constitution. A lot of folks would dispute when I say that the Declaration of Independence is America's first organic law. But if one looks at the Constitution, it provides that the representatives, of which Mike Johnson is one, need to be at least 25 years of age and have been seven years a citizen of the United States. For senators, it's Article 1, Section 3, and it's 9 years of citizenship and 30 years of age. How did we determine citizenship except by reference to the Declaration of Independence? That's a rhetorical question, and that's why the Declaration of Independence is America's first organic law. It's really at the outset of the United States Code, which is the body of statutory laws. And a reemphasis on our organic laws is in order, and I'm expecting that Mike Johnson may well lend some leadership to the Constitution Restoration Act that would take advantage of another provision of the Constitution in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, to carve out the acknowledgement of God as not being within the purview of the federal courts henceforth. And so that legislation was introduced a number of years ago. It did not get a hearing, even though it had over, I think 40 co-sponsors in the House and about 10 in the Senate. But it well may be that that would get some prominence again.
All right, here's a quote from James Madison that you provided for me from Federalist number 63. Quote, "We are warranted in believing that the House of Representatives with the people on their side will at all times be able to bring back the Constitution to its primitive form and principles," end quote. Now, here's a quote from a judge, a justice of the Supreme Court, Hugo Black, who did much damage to our, you know, to just basically simple interpretation of the Constitution, because he basically made it say things that it doesn't say. And he opened the door, in effect, for throwing prayer out of the public schools and the Ten Commandments from the courtroom wall or even the schoolhouse wall. But he said this. Listen to this. Oh, the irony. "Our Constitution was not written in the sands to be washed away by each wave of new judges blown in by each successive political wind," end quote. Well, even a broken clock is correct twice a day.
Well, the irony of it is that Daniel Driesbach, whose book Thomas Jefferson and the Separation of Church and State is well worth reading, he commented, quoting Hugo Black's biographer, as saying that Black did not do his research concerning the First Amendment until after the Everson versus Board of Education of Ewing Township, New Jersey decision of 1947 was decided. That's the decision that launched us into the separation of church and state dicta that removed godly influence in many areas of life. And so I'm fond of, if I can take just a moment with this, sounds kind of apt. If a driver makes a mistake, it could be an accident. If a barber makes a mistake, it could be a new hairstyle. If a musician makes a mistake, could be a new song. If a tailor makes a mistake, could be a new fashion. If a scientist makes a mistake, it could be a new invention. If parents make a mistake, well, it well could be a new generation. If the Supreme Court of the United States makes a mistake, it becomes a new constitutional doctrine that we the people are saddled with until or unless it's reversed. And there have been over 140 instances in which the Supreme Court has reversed itself. And Robert Jackson, who, well, he was kind of a mixed bag, but he wrote this. He had a way with a pen. He wrote this in a concurring opinion in 1953. He says, there is no doubt that if there were a super Supreme Court, a substantial proportion of our reversals would also be reversed. We, and he meant any given panel of five or more Supreme Court justices, we are not final because we are infallible. Rather, we are considered infallible only because we are final. And that's really not true because Article 3 of the Constitution puts that finality in the hands of the elected representatives in Congress. And so we well may see some movement in that regard, even as we see a lot of deterioration in the social fabric, Jerry.
Okay, we are literally about halfway in this discussion, and we've certainly made the point that Mike Johnson is an originalist when it comes to understanding the Constitution. But tell us more about Mike Johnson, and it's an amazing turn of events. This man received all the votes of the Republicans. I'm not aware of any votes he received from Democrats, but maybe that's a good sign.
Well, he's the product of he grew up in a broken family. His mother and father divorced, from what I understand. Nonetheless, he joined his wife Kelly in a covenant marriage, and they have raised four successful children.
Okay, excuse me. What exactly does that mean? I mean, I'm married to my wife. We've been married by God's grace for 43 years. We made it, you know, till death do us part. In effect, it was a solemn covenant before God. What's different in this covenant
marriage? I don't want to chase that rabbit too long, but Louisiana covenant marriage, thanks to author Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, puts a higher wall around marriage, and
so it just makes divorce harder.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And so they have four natural children. They took in a foster child, a young African-American lad, when he was 14 years old. And he was raised in the Johnson household. From what I understand, I never met him, but I understand he lives in California. He's married and the father of four and a success. And I serve from time to time, Jerry, as a juvenile judge, and I know how very pivotal is that particular age for a young lad, particularly a young 14-year-old lad without the parental structure that apparently was the case. He was on the streets, I think Mike has said, and facing some very dangerous propositions. Mike's father was a firefighter, and he was injured seriously and crippled in fighting a fire. He nonetheless, he died shortly before Mike was sworn in, I understand. But he nevertheless was instrumental in establishing a nonprofit organization to honor the first African-American fire instructor and captain of the fire department in Shreveport, who died in his in the performance of his duties. And
wait, I'm a little confused here. First of all, when you say Mike sworn in, was that when he entered the U.S. Congress, or do you mean as the Speaker of the House?
The U.S. Congress.
Okay, and second question is, when you're talking about honoring an African-American or the first African-American of the Shreveport Fire Department, first chief, was that, you're talking about Mike Johnson did that, or his father did that?
His father did that.
Okay,
and
okay.
His father was crippled in fighting a fire.
Right.
And so his father must have been a very admirable man.
Sure. And I've also read that Mike Johnson is really a man of the people in terms of, you know, like Nancy Pelosi is a millionaire many times over. And so are some of these other speakers of the House are very wealthy. But Mike Johnson, they say, lives paycheck to paycheck. He's a regular reader of the Bible. His favorite passage is Psalm 37. Which talks about don't fret even when evil men seem to be succeeding. You know, at the end of the day, God will take care of you. And, you know, in the meantime, you do what's right.
Yeah,
tell us more about Mike Johnson.
He is a man of faith. I've personally been with him in the legislature. He served as a state legislator. In his private capacity as an attorney, he volunteered to defend the Ouachita Parish. That's Ouachita, O-U-A-C-H-I-T-A. That's Monroe, Louisiana. The Ouachita Parish science curriculum policy that challenged the Darwin-only science curriculum in the public schools of Monroe, Louisiana. He offered to defend it in court. Well, it's never had to be defended. And at least one school district in central Louisiana has replicated it, and he defended pro-life and pro-husband and wife marriage laws as a lawyer. So he's been a successful constitutional attorney. His wife, beautiful lady, Kelly, is a licensed pastoral counselor and lecturer, and they've done a wonderful job with their children. And I've heard it said that he was selected as speaker because he has no enemies. Well, let me tell you one enemy that he and America has, and that's Satan. And one little divergence here. The very first Public Education Act in America was called the Old Satan Deluder Act. And it said, because that old deluder Satan has kept people in the dark, that we want, and this was in Massachusetts, that we want people to learn how to read so they can read the scriptures so they can hold their elected officials accountable to rule in the fear of God. That was the very first Public Education Act in America. And so Mike Johnson does have at least one enemy, but he's defeated, Jerry. He's defeated. And we can take hope in that and keep praying for Mike and his family.
All right. We have about 1 minute left. Any other things you want to say about Mike Johnson? By the way, his human enemies are coming out of the woodworks and claiming that he's a theocrat. How about addressing that accusation in 45 seconds? Is Mike Johnson a theocrat, a Christian nationalist?
Well, you would have to define what that is. He wants words to be defined in connection with their natural meaning and their normal meaning. And he opposes, as do I, secularism, secular humanism, that is to say the religion, and it is a religion, that the universe was not created, but rather just emerged.
10 seconds left.
Contrary to our Declaration of Independence, which speaks of the Creator four times. And as I started off mentioning, Jerry, that's the first of America's organic laws.
Right, exactly. Okay, ajatoday.com, Judge Darryl White. Judge, thank you so much. All the best.
You too, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.